All right, the commentaries say that the Buddha was concerned that the monks, after making their rounds to beg for food, were not sufficiently grateful or appreciative. Thus he gave this sermon to reinforce this awareness so that they would not take what they received for granted.
那个时候呢，佛陀看到这些比丘他们出去化缘的时候，他们并不会觉得很重视这些他们化缘所来的食物，所以佛陀有这个看到这件事情，所以佛陀要跟他们讲这个经典。
So the Sutta talks about something that is absolutely fundamental to our existence, food. But the food itself is shown to be not just physical, but mental.Food is something that we eat every day, or we wouldn't be here. So this is, but looking at the dynamic of food, both physically and mentally, is quite a concept to understand.
这个经典呢，讲了一个非常非常简单的、最基本的东西，对我们的生存最基本的东西，食物。然后这个食物本身呢，不是光是对我们身体有用，而且是对我们的精神有用，所以这个经典呢特别去讲这食物。
Okay, we're going to look at each one of these nutriments in turn, but before that, I have to make a major digression because if I don't talk about conditions.And you're not that familiar with Buddhist concepts, Chan concepts, and even if you are, it's still something very important to go over. So a condition, most simply, is something upon which something else is predicated. The formula is because of this, that arises. And we talk about causes and conditions, and we talk about causes and consequences.
我们会一样一样的来讲每一种的营养，这四种营养我们会一样一样的来讲。可是最先呢，我要从这边呢再另外加一点我要讲缘。缘呢是有一个缘，有一个因，然后变成这个缘。然后我们常常会讲因缘因果，都是有一个状况，然后变成另外一个状况。缘就是在这中间。
Okay, what I said was very abstract, so here are some examples. So, an example that's often given is that of a plant growing. The seed is the cause of the plant, and the conditions are water, light, temperature, and anything else that's in the plant's environment that will allow it to thrive. Right, so, but if...the plant is growing in the middle of a war zone, then no matter how good the conditions seem to be, it may not thrive. Also, so if the cause of the plant is the seed, then you might think that the consequence is the plant that grows. But is it the plant in full bloom, or is it the withered plant? Or is it the seed that ensues from...the plant growing, that the plant disseminates. It's really a question of what you want to talk about and what you're concentrating on.
我们拿植物来做我们举例用植物来说，植物是从种子，然后可是要有适当的光线、适当的温度、适当的这个土壤，所以这个种子呢才能发芽长大。如果说种子也有了，光度也有了，温度也有了，可是这个种子呢就偏偏长在一个一天到晚打仗的这个战区，所以这个种子呢大概是不会长成植物的。所以我们种子一件东西不是能全部长成植物的，所以是根据所有这些缘助缘一起，所以才能长成一个植物。所以这我们你可以从任何一个角度来看，可是看你今天要讲哪一件东西，你可以讲很多很多。所以我们是看这个整体的这个缘。今天
，Continuing this vein, if there weren't trees on the earth and or in the ground, this building couldn't have been built. And if we hadn't arrived here.And we didn't have bodies and ears to hear and mouths to speak, We couldn't have a talk, and we have to have the ability to speak a particular language, and could continue like this for quite a while. All of the conditions that make this very moment, right here, right now, possible.
我继续从种子来说，如果说种子不能长成树木的话，那我们今天住的房子大概也是不可能盖成的。就拿我们自己来说的话，如果说没有这些种子的话，供给我们的食物的话，我们今天也不可能存活。那今天我们到这边来听演讲来说，因为我们有眼睛，我们有耳朵，我们有身体可以到这边来，所以我们今天所以能够聚集在一起在这里听讲。
So why is talking about conditions important? It's because we get caught up in them. We get caught up in appearances. So two things to illustrate that. If this were a torch and I was moving it slowly in a circle like this, and I went faster and faster, eventually you would see a circle of fire. But there would be no circle. It would be an illusion. It would be made up of the parts of the torch and its circuit.Likewise, if you're in the jungle, if you happen to find yourself in the jungle, and you see a long black line on a path, and you look closer and you see that it's not a long black line, but it's an army of ants that are marching across the path, there is no line. Certainly, there is an appearance of a line temporarily, and then that is the point of conditions.That they are temporary, always changing, and always depending upon one another.
我们常常被这个外表的假象呢所蒙蔽了，没有办法看到真正的这个内在的实质。比如说，这是一个火把，然后我这样子转转转，事实上是一点一点一点一点的连接，然后我转得很快的时候就变成一个圆圈，事实上是没有圆圈，只是一点一点一点火把的连接。另外一个例子就是你在沙漠中间看到一条黑色的线，然后你走进去看呢，原来是这个一连串的这个蚂蚁变成一条一条的线，事实上这是没有线在那里的，只是我们这个我们又被外表的假象骗，就是一连串的蚂蚁变成一个黑色的线。
As one Tibetan Rinpoche said, you all think you're real, and that makes sense, and that's logical. The problem is that you think that you're really real, and that's a bit of an overstatement.
一个西藏的这个仁波切他说，我们都是以为我们是真的。如果说你了解这一点的话，最好。可是万一你觉得我们真的是真的呢，这个就是真的有很大的问题了。
Okay, the first nutriment is edible food. This is about our bodies and what sustains them, food and water. And this would seem to be very straightforward. You eat, your body grows, and you live. Simple. Most of us see our body as unique, separate from everyone else. But what feeds the body is entirely external.Of course, until we absorb the nutrients from what we eat. Without resources from the world around us, the body would not exist at all. This includes the air we breathe and the water we drink. This seeming independence and separateness is a momentary fiction. The body feeds on the world, and the world subsequently feeds on the body. Generally speaking, we don't notice the continual, everyday, momentary changes that lead to the big changes of life and death.
我们现在讲第一种营养，就是可以吃的食物，这个是好像是这个很简单的这个概念，食物水，所以我们可以存活，我们的身体可以长，我们可以活，这是非常非常简单的非常简单的概念。我们每一个人都以为我们的身体是这个独立的个体户，可是我们每一个人都这样想，可是我们从外面吃的食物，然后吃到我们身体里头，没有这些外面来的食物呢，我们身体不可以存活。同样的，还有这空气，我们呼吸的空气，我们喝的水，看起来好像都是独立存在的，就是好像都是跟我们没有什么关系的。这只是一个暂时的假象。我们的身体吃这些外面来的食物，然后呢，这些外面来的食物呢，为我们的身体，所以这。很简单来说，这是 就是我们虽然不一天每天过日子，我们不了解这件事情，可是呢，这些东西都是瞬间瞬间在转换的，瞬间瞬间在变化的。然后因为这些瞬间瞬间的这些无常变化，然后到变成我们最终生活生命的最终就是死亡。
So the Buddha asked the monks how should they regard food, and he makes a very shocking analogy. And so here, you know, viewer discretion advised. He asked them to imagine a couple with a young baby boy crossing the desert. And there's some details in the sutra which I'll just leave out, but in summary, they realize that they're simply not going to make it across the desert. They don't have the resources. And the only logical thing that they can do is to kill their son and eat him. And when they do this, I mean, this is, of course, pretty much of a showstopper. But remember, the Buddha is not suggesting this, and he's not reporting about it. It's only a metaphor, and I think that's important to keep in mind. So what's the purpose of the metaphor? The Buddha states that certainly nobody would do this with their own child for the taste or to make their bodies more beautiful. Absolutely not. It's simply for survival. So this is a contemplation designed to redirect our awareness. And if you really follow what the Buddha is saying, this way of regarding food really leads to kindness, understanding, respect for all beings, and harmlessness. So don't get fooled by the imagery.
佛陀呢，在这个经典里头呢，讲了一个很可怕的这个例子。他说有一对夫妇呢，跟一个男婴儿，他们三个人呢一起呢要渡过一个沙漠，然后呢在这途中呢，他们发现他们没有水，然后没有食物，实在是没有办法了。为了存活，他们只有呢想去吃他这个把这个婴儿给吃了，所以就是为了活命。这个好像就是好像再下去没戏唱了，可是不是这个意思，这个只是一个例子。佛陀为什么要用这么很可怕的例子，他当然不会说哎呀我们大家去吃我们自己的小孩，这是不可能的事情。然后呢我们吃这个小孩呢也不是因为好吃，当然也不是了为了滋养我们的身体，变得我们的身体变得更漂亮，但当然绝对都不是这些意思。他只是呢要用这个案例呢，让我们去观我们吃的食物，我们会转换我们的这个意识，不要这个专门注重在好吃或者是让我们的身体好看，是真正让我们去看食物呢，去有慈悲，然后去了解所有这些东西，所有这些动物，然后供给我们食物，然后所有这个环境供给我们食物，而不是在这个我们执着在这个可怕的这个案例里头。
Okay. So the Buddha exhorts the monks to regard what they eat as simply that which will keep this body from withering away, as it says in our liturgy. Anything else we think about or feel about food is mind added. It is not intrinsic to the food itself. So this is beyond our desire for or our distaste of any particular thing we eat. It is ground zero nutrition.
佛陀呢，因为看到这些比丘们呢，并不是这么注重他们的食物，所以他才会有举例这个例子。他说，食物呢，真的就像我们在《纯食五观》里面讲的，味疗行枯，所以我们要去这样子的对待我们的食物。
So the Buddha explains that by contemplating edible food in this manner, they will have a clear insight and understanding that will end their attachment to sensual pleasures. No Olive Garden ads with happy people watching steaming pasta floating down to their table. Because the Buddha goes on to state, once sensual pleasures are transformed, there is no longer any internal formations concerning objects of sensual pleasure. It is this attachment that keeps us returning to the world.
佛陀解释这个是要我们去观我们吃的东西，用这种方法来去观我们吃的东西，是要给我们一个非常非常明确的这个觉知跟了解，去停止我们对感官的享受这种执着。当然了，这个你会想啊，很多电视上有些很棒很棒的这些广告啦，比如说像这个Olive Garden 呢，它会有一大堆人呢围着桌子坐，高高兴兴的等着你这个一盘又香喷喷又热的这个面食端到你前面来，不是这个意思。因为我们了解这个食物的本质，我们要怎么去吃这些食物的本质，所以我们去把这个感官的这个享受呢，把它停止住。然后转换成不是我们这个中我们脑子里头就不会去想这个美食啊多好吃啊多好吃，所以我们要把这个观念来转换，从这个感官的享受转换。
So remember, this is an early sutta. I'm not preaching any asceticism here. This is just to get a very clear picture of how nutriments are understood. So, and this is a sutra spoken directly to monks at the Buddha's time who had left home and have to beg for food in order to sustain themselves. Our lives, most of us here, are very different, but we can note the bare-boned accuracy of what is said and see what is or is not applicable to us. In the Pali texts, the emphasis is on dispassion, the abandonment of sensual pleasure. This egregious image will certainly help do the trick. It is perhaps similar to the practice described in the Satipatthana Sutta, which is that of watching a dead body decompose. And so if you have any ideas of going out and buying eyeliner and makeup and going to a tanning salon, it's a real disincentive. And the Chan way of looking at these things, though not at odds with them, is nevertheless different. In Chan, we directly observe the mind. We try not to get caught up by what is distasteful or pleasant, for that matter.
当然了，这是早期经典里头佛陀直接讲给这些出家的比丘们。我在这里并不说是我们每一个人都要过苦行的生活。他们当时呢是离开了家，然后每一个人都要去托钵去乞食。可是现在我们的生活呢是非常非常的不一样。可是我要用这个最基本赤裸裸的这个例子来比较正确的能表达我们这里要说的是什么。我们是强调我们是强调不要有这个感官的享受，从感官的享受转换去观我们的食物。像如果说我们另外经典里头有讲的，他们就是看着史诗如何这个一步一步的一步一步的这个腐化。如果说有过这样的经验的话，我想你大概也不会去买一些化妆品啊，擦一些指甲油啊，让你自己觉得漂亮。这些感官的享受呢都已经转化了。
So if you ponder food, both coarse and fine, what we eat and drink, what we breathe, and what we get from the environment,You can see how much work and sometimes, oftentimes, suffering is involved in the production, in the creation of food. And you may be more attentive and notice what a narrow view of these things we actually have. We expect food to be on our table, or we order it in a restaurant and it just appears as if by magic. We eat and are satisfied and we hardly think of how it all happened.
如果呢我们仔细的呢去观察我们的食物好的啊或者是粗的啊或者我们吃的东西啊我们喝的东西啊我们从这个环境啊整体，你就会发现从产生这些食物呢，事实上有很多这些痛苦结合在里面的。 不要以为我们桌上的食物就是好像像一个魔术一样的，就是很漂亮的、很香喷喷的的出现在我们的眼前。从如果说从种东西来说，这些所有这些东西构成的，然后如果说畜牧类啊，然后这些养殖业啊，这些东西全部都是有很多很多的痛苦在这中间，所以才能变成我们的食物。所以我们知道的这件事情的话，我们在吃所以虽然我们现在我们不知道，可是我们一般来说我们没有仔细去观察的话，我们根本不知道有这么多的痛苦结合在里面，所以能产生我们桌上的食物。
So if you ask what a nutriment is in the commentaries, as I've already described, it's simply a condition. And might be worth noting that in the Abhidharma, which is the psychological treatise on Buddhism of the states of mind, there are actually 24 conditions that sometimes happen, sometimes are always present. And nutriments are one of those 24 conditions.So we don't munch on a sandwich or eat an apple and think that we are eating a condition. But what we are taking into our bodies and are conditions or causes that will allow us to function, to walk, talk, breathe, think, everything.
也许你会问你自己，这个营养到底是什么东西啊？事实上呢，真的就是这个圆的结合。当然我们不可能一边在吃个这个三明治啦，或者是在啃一个苹果想，哦，我在吃一个圆。可是呢，真正呢吃进我们的身体呢就会变成圆。所有这些因缘一起所造成，所以让我们的身体呢可以运作，你可以走路啦，可以讲话啦，可以想啊，可以呼吸。
So after the edible food nutriment, we move to nutriments of the mind. Now, of course, in Western scientific literature, there's well-documented connections between mind and body. And I probably don't have to convince anyone of this, but just for the record, Thich Nhat Hanh brings attention to the fact that skipping breakfast might affect your performance on a test. Exercise of the body makes the mind feel better.Levels of anxiety and stress can negatively affect the heart and general health. And the mind protects the body. When in danger, glucagon, cortisol, and adrenaline help the body respond to threats. And remember, we may know this, but we know it intellectually.
我们先说的是吃的食物，现在我们要说这个对心的营养。在的西方呢，科学呢有很多很多这些文献啊，这些研究啊，告诉我们这个心跟这个身体的关系。那一行禅师呢，就用一个很简单的例子。如果说你早上不吃饭的话呢，你去考试呢，一定是考得乱七八糟。如果说呢，你现在去运动呢，你身体去运动呢，那你这个心情呢，等一下就一定会很好。然后呢，很多这个我们这个身体有焦躁不安啦，或者是这个有这个很大的压力啦，这些负面的影响呢，会影响我们的心，我们的心脏还有那个我们一般来的这个健康。所以呢，这个心呢，我们的心呢去保护我们的身体，当然有一些特别的这个防卫机制啦。如果说我现在碰到这个危险的时候呢，我的肾上腺素呢是特别活跃，去保护我的身体呢，是如何呢去度过这个难关。
We say food for thought, but it's really just an expression in English, although there may be something behind it. And ordinary sentient beings, we ordinary sentient beings, as Master Sheng Yan pointed out, don't think much about thinking. But the first verse of the Dhammapada, which is a seminal work in Buddhism, says, preceded by mind are phenomena, led by mind, formed by mind.If with mind polluted one speaks or acts, then pain follows as a wheel follows the draft ox's foot. If with mind pure one speaks or acts, then ease follows as an ever-present shadow.
我们一般呢来说呢，我们并不想到我们的心也要 也要有食物。像我们常常说的精神粮食，精神粮食并不是一个名词，是真正的是一个精神粮食，真正的有这件事情。一般普通人呢不会想呢，师父也说过，一般人呢不会去想，去多做这个想。在那个法句经里头解释，第一个记。第一个譬喻，他说有牛声剥其皮，在在处处猪虫杂食，沙土尘草木针刺，若依于地，地虫所食，若依于水，水虫所食，若依于空中，飞虫所食，卧起常有毒苦在身。所以他这个牛呢，就是时时刻刻的都觉得不安，一直都被有虫在吃，所以呢，所以这是一个例子告诉我们，时时刻刻这个牛呢都非常非常的不安，都一直的活在这个每一分钟每一分钟的阴影里面。
So mind and body are not separate, or another way of looking at it is inseparable but distinguishable, like mountains and valleys. But we are not generally aware of this. People pass us by and we only see physical forms passing, not minds. We don't normally think of them as people with families and their own lives, especially if they're strangers.
一般来说呢，我心跟这个跟这个身体呢是不可分的，可是呢又是两个东西。一般我们看到人从我们面前走过呢，你看到一个形体，你不可能想到他的心是怎么样，他的家庭是怎么样，他的这个心理状态是怎么样。
So how do you assess who you are? Often on retreats, Chan Master teacher will ask, who's sitting there? And right now, who's sitting, who's listening, who's talking? How do you assess this? Is it your social security number? Is it your full name with your middle initial? What really describes who you are? Jackie Mason, the comedian, once went to see a psychiatrist for help. And the psychiatrist said, I can help you find out who you are. And Jackie Mason said, why doesn't he just talk to my friends? They know where I live.
那我们怎么知道我们是谁嘞？常常在这个禅修中间呢，我们常常问的一个问题是谁坐在那里？然后现在呢，是谁坐在那里听？是谁坐在这里讲？是你的这个名字呢？还是你这个你的姓呢？是坐在那里？有一个这个常常讲笑话的这个人喜剧演讲者Jackie Mason， 他有一次呢去看一个心理医生，他问说你可不可以帮我，然后呢你可不可以帮我找到我自己，然后呢心理医生说可以，我可以帮你想办法帮你找到你是谁。那 Jackie Mason 就说那你干嘛不去问我的朋友呢？他们知道我住哪里啊。
All right. The doctrine of no self, anatta, which some of you may be familiar with, is really the answer to this. And that is, of course, a fairly complex doctrine. I don't have time to go into it. But you can ponder that at any moment, who we are is composed of our body and whatever state it is in, together with what we have become and done, and all of our relationships to other people, what we are thinking and feeling right now. We can't give a name to this, but we can experience it.
当然了，我们常常说到无我，这是一个非常非常大的这个另外一堂课题，所以我现在不讲。可是呢，当你呢反思呢每一分钟每一秒钟，我们都是从我们的身体，然后跟我们经历的所有的这些外境全部结合一起，每分钟每分钟 你经历你碰到一些什么人啊，你现在在想些什么啦，你是什么样的感觉啦，这是分分秒秒不可以分割的。我们并不知道怎么如何来称呼这些，可是我们每一分钟每一分钟都在经历这件事。
The next nutriment is sense impressions. That's the data that enters through our senses, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind, sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, thoughts. This nutriment is something of a transition between body and mind because it is in the senses in our bodies that respond to the outside world, although, of course, thoughts are mind-generated. Sense impressions are associated with three kinds of feeling. Pleasure, displeasure, and neutrality. The image in the sutta, remember they're all horrible images, is that of a skinned cow that is being plagued by insects and maggots, whether it stands or lies down. This puts a different spin on a gentle massage and soothing music. Sense impressions include what we get from the media, what we read, what we hear from friends and family, and what happens to our minds and bodies. We can be over or understimulated. Listening to a political discussion can make you angry. Certain kinds of music may promote relaxation and calmness.
这第二种营养呢，是这个感觉，是这种感觉印象。像所有的这些所有的这些资料呢，进入我们的这个感官，眼睛啊，鼻子啊，嘴巴啊，舌头啊，身体啊，鼻子啊，所以我们才会有这个视觉、味觉、声，听到声音，然后可以触摸，然后我们有的想法，这些呢都是这些从这些感觉来的，但这些有些时候呢是非常非常的好的感觉，有些呢是非常不好的感觉。在经典说把它分成三种，一种是喜，一种是苦，一种是不苦不喜，这三种的感觉。那当然经典里头说了，这个牛呢不管是站啊或者是坐啊，它这个皮肤啊分分秒秒都被这个蛆啊这个虫啊在咬，这个当然跟我们平常我们想到啊，这个很舒服的这个 massage 啊，跟这个听到很好听的这个音乐啊，这么样的这个情况是完全不同的。所以呢，这个感官印象呢，可以时时受着影响。比如说我们现在听到新闻里头啊，我们听到这个政治上面一些发生的事情，我们可能变成非常非常的生气。可是呢，如果说你听一个很舒服的这个音乐啦，或可以让你感觉非常非常的放松，非常非常的享受。
The third nutriment is volition. That's sankara in Sanskrit and xing in Chinese. It is sometimes described as mental formations. It's the reactive mind or memory. Its most basic meaning is action. In the Chinese character shows someone walking. That's what volition is. And it comprises all actions of the mind manifested in either body, speech, or mind thought itself. And there are three types of sankara, which I'll just add, which are kind of interesting. Light, which is a finger going through the water. You forgot your keys, right? It happens and it's over. There's stick going through the sand, which is someone yells at you at work, or you have an argument with your family member and you're angry for a few hours. And the last one is a chisel going through stone, which is really true trauma. So it is how the mind has reacted to a given situation.
第三种营养呢是形。很多时候呢我们就是解释是这个想法的形成，或者是我们有一件事情发生，我们脑子里头有一种这个如何去应对，或者是就是这个记忆。所以这是最简单的意思呢，就是所有的这个动作然后造成的这个业。 我会慢慢讲一些东西。这个是事实上呢，这个行呢，事实上是一连串的动作，在我们的脑子里头，然后让影响我们的身体，或者是讲话，或者是我们的我们的想法。
Okay, and volition, I guess it's important to note, is also associated with three kinds of craving. And I notice when I do, there are many, many lists, of course, in Buddhism, and they, you know, they say Christians love God and Buddhists love lists. So it's important to note that the kinds of craving are for sense impression and for being and non-being, which means sort of wanting to live and liking a situation, or wanting to not live, could be, you know, from suicide or simply from wanting to get away from an unpleasant situation.
This?
What?
List.
List.
Okay. 行呢，是刚刚我们说了，是一连串的这个动作，这个发生，然后我们去脑子里头会有一些反应，或者是有些记忆，然后我们会有一些反应，然后有三种我们会去想贪求的，或者是想去贪求的这种行。一种呢是就是这个感觉，就是这个感觉，有的时候呢是想要更多呢，有些是不想要更多，或者是不想要的到一个程度呢，会想到就是说，哎，算了，我不要了，我就自杀吧。有这样的这些行动啊。
All right. So the image, once again, another horrific image coming, associated with volition, is a burning pit of embers, and there are two strong men that are dragging you and are about to throw you into this pit, and you're not going to be very happy when you land in it. And so the understanding is that volition determines rebirth, or if you're not someone who subscribes to rebirth, you can look at it simply psychologically, is what you will do next.
另外一个很可怕的例子，有两个非常非常强壮的人要把你要抓到丢到火坑里头去。在这个时候你会做些什么事情呢？可能是在这种危险的时候呢，你会有从完全不一样的这个感应，完全不一样的这个反应。如果说你经历过这么可怕的这个经验了以后呢，你可能会重生。
So this desire, volition,for what we want can give us energy, and it may conflict with our assessment of a situation and make us discouraged or lethargic. It can go in many different ways. If your desire for and success at making money, for example, causes harm or promotes well-being to others, it's all how you are perceiving and how you are acting in a given situation. To examineVolition is to ask the question, what is real happiness?
当然呢，这个行呢，也是因为这个行呢，所以我们会下一步我们要真正去做什么。可能你想赚很多很多钱呢，可是如果说你赚很多很多钱呢，这是有很多方法，有些呢会是伤害很多很多人，伤害很多很多众生去赚这个钱。可是呢，也是也有另外一种方式，就是你赚这个钱呢，你可以帮助很多很多众生。真正是在于你，是要有什么样的动机去行，然后这个行呢，去仔仔细细的去观这个行呢，然后去问这个问题呢，而且问真正的快乐到底是什么。
The fourth nutriment is consciousness.This may seem to be simply awareness, and indeed sometimes consciousness and awareness are taken to be one and the same, but consciousness, at least as understood in a Buddhist context, is really more understood to be a particular state of mind, angry, kind, open, resentful. So there's an understanding when you speak about consciousness of coloration or prejudgment in the way that one perceives him or herself and the world.And the image here, the horrific image, is that of a thief who has been caught by the king and has been sentenced to be stabbed by 300 spears in the morning and 300 spears in the evening, and I don't know how long that can go on, but probably not too long. So,
第四种营养呢是意识，这个呢可能很多时候呢我们可能会说哦，这个可能是觉知，事实上呢他们呢好像是一样的，可是并不太一样，有一些不一样的地方。在这个意识呢，在这个佛教里头中间讲呢或者了解呢是你的心的一种特别的状态，我生气啦，我慈悲啦，我的这个我的意识呢是非常非常的广啊，或者是我心里啊就是非常非常的反抗这件事情啊，所以这就是你心的一种状态。所以呢就是好像也可以说是一种了解，是一种我们有一些这种预先的去评判的这些想法在里面，去所以我们因为有一些这些想法呢，已经有了这些想法呢，所以我们去看事情看人的时候，看这个世界的时候，我们有不一样的这种意识去看。另外有一个那个很可怕的那个例子，在经典里头就是说有一个小偷呢被国王抓到了，所以呢他判他的罪呢是早上呢被三个刀子去戳，三百个刀子戳，晚上也要被三百个刀子戳，这个实在是一个很大很大的压力，很可怕的事情。
Okay. So just to go a little bit further into consciousness, because it's not an easy topic. Thich Nhat Hanh defines it as the totality of everything we have thought, said, or done throughout our lives, as well as the knowledge, habits, talents, and perceptions of our ancestors. So consciousness has this idea of being individual and collective. And of course, in other Buddhist texts, they talk about store consciousness, where all of our actions and thoughts are stored, literally reside, and will help dictate what happens to us, our karma.
这个行这个意识这个东西呢，是一个非常非常大的这个主题。一行禅师呢，他有这样子的解释，他说呢，是一个我们所有事情的整体。我们有这个想法，我们说的事情，我们做的事情，我们这一生中这是所有的这些东西呢，加上我们的这个知识啦，加上我们的习惯啦，加上我们的聪明才智啦，加上我们在外所每天这个接收的这些资讯啦，还有从我们这个祖先上传下来的这些概念啦，这些全部加起来，整体就是这个意识，所以是每个个人的经验呢，还有是整体的经验一起。
The Buddha said that if we know how to look deeply into our suffering and recognize its source of food, we are already on the path of emancipation. So these very unpleasant, painful, and unsettling images associated with the four nutriments are meant to arrest the mind, notice the attachment, and ultimately to free the mind.
佛陀说呢，如果我们知道呢，如果可以深深的去看我们这个痛苦，了解这个痛苦的来源，这些来源，或者是这些来源这个精神粮食的来源，所以我们如果说能深深的去看，深深的去了解，所以我们已经在解脱道上了。佛陀也跟我们说，如果说我们仔细的去看进去我们的这个受，我们的痛苦，然后我们知道，所以我们就已经在解脱的路上。所以呢，这个有些是非常不是很快乐的啦，或者是痛苦的啦，或者是一些不确定的这些印象。对这种四种营养呢，是意识上呢是把我们的这个心呢被绑住了。我们知道被这些执着绑住了以后呢，所以呢我们就了解了以后，我们就可以把我们的这个心呢就解脱，就放逐。
Okay, now let's look a little more deeply into the suffering as portrayed in the images associated with each of the four nutriments.Note also that the commentaries talk of a particular danger associated with each nutriment. The danger has to do with what each nutriment feeds and the consequences of that feeding. And remember, we're really talking at base level about causes and consequences, seeing what enters the mind and body, however it is, and what actually is happening on the most basic, pristine, if you will, level.
下面呢，我们要继续再深层的去看痛苦。可能呢这些我们刚刚看的这个四种营养里面的这些例子呢，好像觉得好像有一种危机在里面，跟这个营养一起，我们要看仔仔细细的去看每一个这个营养呢，还有它的这个结果，
Okay, so the implication with edible food is that almost every aspect associated with it may be a source of suffering. That is, production, consumption, the energy and actions that surround the food. Because of the craving and need for food, much difficulty arises. Theft, wars, famines, contamination, considerable toil, trouble, exploitation to plant, harvest, process, and sometimes overprocess and transport the food. I know there are places in Africa, in Ghana, where there were pretty much slave conditions on chocolate farms, chocolate plantations. So it, and besides all of that, around the food industry, there are billion-dollar industries devoted to food ailments and physical and psychological problems. The diet industry alone is a $51 billion industry, all around edible food.
我们要讲这个吃的东西，常常呢，给了一种概念呢，是这个痛苦的来源。为什么呢？因为从生产这个食物到吃这个食物，然后到变成这个全部我们这些所有这些主题呢，在这个食物上面呢，生产、吃，然后运送，所有这些东西呢，事实上是痛苦的来源。为什么呢？因为呢，因为我们需要食物，因为我们想吃食物，所以呢，很多很多的这些困难呢会产生。所以呢，像小偷啦，像战争啦，像这个污染啦，像所有这些问题呢，种食物啦，采收食物啦，这整个过程中间呢，是还有还有甚至于运送食物啦，这整个过程中间都是有痛苦在里面的。像在非洲这个巧克力的这个田园里头啦，事实上这些采收巧克力的都是一些奴隶，然后他们被虐待，所以这是一个例子。然后其中呢，另外一个呢，也是因为食物，像这个每年呢，不知道有多少人呢想要去节食，在这个节食的这个生意里面呢，事实上人家花了大概有无以计数的钱，或者是上亿钱的在里面，就是因为这个节食。所以这些东西呢，都是在有这个痛苦跟痛苦结合的。
There is, of course, the pleasant side of eating, fancy restaurants, the food network, hundreds of cookbooks, and friends and family gathering together to enjoy a meal, and of course, many people make their livelihood through the food industry. But the Buddha pointed out that anything that has the nature to arise has the nature to pass away. This is impermanence. Nothing good or bad will last. The food is eaten, digested, and excreted. The sensations and feelings about it will pass.
当然了，这个食物不是光是只有痛苦了，当然也有快乐的这一面了。比如说呢，这个很高级的这个餐馆啦，有非常非常好吃的东西啦，或者是在我们电视上呢，这个有食物网啦，教你怎么煮东西吃啦，教你怎么做东西吃啦，然后还有各种各样的这些食谱啦，教你怎么做，或者是每一次呢，朋友呢，好朋友跟家人一起聚集，就是在吃东西，想好好的享受这一顿饭。 这都是些快乐的事情。可是呢，佛陀告诉我们呢，任何东西呢，有这个本质呢，会生就会有这个本质会灭，这就是无常。所以没有事情呢，没有东西呢是好的，或者是坏的，或者会持久的。这个食物吃了呢，然后消化嘞，然后呢排泄，然后这个呢高兴的感觉呢，到最后也会离开。
The danger of food is desire. Yes, it can be understood as a warning against attachment, especially if you note the awful imagery in the sutra, but it can also be perceived as awakening gratitude and seeing a connection to everything that is the source of how we are able to do what we do and think and be.
食物呢，这个最危险的这个这一点呢，叫食物呢是这个是这个欲望。我们这个欲望呢，执着于这个食物。经典上告诉我们一些很可怕的例子了。所以啊，这只是一个警告，叫我们不要有这个执着对这个食物产生，并不是我们要去看它这个很可怕的这个很可怕的这个例子，它只是告诉我们一个让我们觉悟的一个这些例子，让我们产生了一种连结。所以每件事情呢，我们做，我们想，或我们变成这个样子呢，跟这个经典这个例子呢有关。
So one antidote to this is, of course, living in the moment. And William Blake wrote, "He who binds himself to joy doth."The winged life destroy, but he who kisses joy as it flies lives in eternity's sunrise. Good luck.
下面是一个William Blake 的他一个那个句子，他说呢，如果呢我们呢把我们自己呢绑在那个快乐中间呢，所以呢我们就会跟着这个我们这个生命呢就会跟着这个毁灭一起飞走。如果说一个人呢知道会去享受这个享受这个快乐，知道他就像一个昆虫它会飞走的话呢，然后这个人呢会永远的快乐的住在日光里面。
Now, in transitioning to the next nutriment, sense impressions, I just want to make note of four kinds of things that some of us ingest. Tobacco, alcohol, illicit drugs, and even legitimate drugs. Now, these are things whichare not exactly sustaining us. I mean, I don't think you can live on tobacco or even alcohol, but they are things that we eat or drink or smoke in particular cases, and they're directly funneling into our senses. And of course, there are many statistics, which I have here, I won't go into, about how much damage some of these things like tobacco and alcohol and illicit drugs do to people's health, livelihood, and even their existence.
另外呢，一些食物呢，我们在这边可以举例，像香烟草啦，酒啊，或者是不合法的这个药啊，迷幻药啊，这些东西，或者是合法的药啊，这些呢都是我们一般人花很多很多钱在这上面的食物。这些食物呢并不能呢让我们存活，可是会让我们感觉很好会让我们觉得很舒服，或者是有些人觉得上瘾了这些食物，让我们觉得很舒服，可是真正我们并不需要这些食物。
So we are fed by and we are a product of, to some extent, what our mind is taking in. If anything hurts us or gives us pleasure, that is a sense impression that will affect our sense of well or ill-being. That is what is happening in the moment. Sitting in this room, we are receiving lots of sense impression, moment by moment. As a matter of fact, in a book about unconsciousness, gave this statistic that our bodysends 11 million bits of information to our nervous system, but our conscious mind can only process 50 to 60 bits per second. So it's like going to a party with 11 million people and only getting to talk to 50 or 60 people.
我们的心呢，是一直在被外在所有的东西来滋养，任何东西在我们面前。 快乐的也好，不快乐的也好，都是我们的这个感觉感官，影响我们，好的啊，或者是坏的，都是时时刻刻在影响我们。经典里头举了一个例子，我们每一秒钟有1.1亿的这些资料呢，进入我们的这个感官系统。可是呢，我们真正呢，能够接收的只有50到60个，就好像你去了一个party，一个聚会，那个聚会里头呢，有1.1亿的人，可是你只能跟5、60个人讲话。
So the danger associated with sense impressions is called approach or attachment. So from sense impressions, we want to either push them away or attach to them. And so the image of the afflicted cow points to how inundated and swayed we are by all of our sense impressions. Sense impressions cloud our minds.
这个意识呢，最危险的就是执着。 从这些感官意识呢，我们会外面的这些快乐的感觉啦，或者是痛苦的感觉啦，让我们想要更多，所以我们更执着这个快乐的感觉，或者是我们想要把这个不好的感觉把它想要离开，把它想要推开，所以这种就让我们产生喜欢。 不喜欢的执着，就像这个牛啦，它不管是站的也好，或是躺的也好，或坐的也好，时时刻刻在被虫咬，所以这些都是进去我们这个感官意识，所以这些感官意识呢，让我们迷失我们自己。The
nutriment of volition. Once again, this is the reactive aspect of the mind, avoiding what is real and pursuing what is unreal. This kind of food is about karma and rebirth. What you want to do, where you want to go, this determines who you are. A doctor helping people or a jewel thief or a hitman, which will have a much more deleterious effect. How we react to momentary glitches is a function of our volition. If someone brushes by your shoulder and gives you a slight tap. Is it something that you just shake off, or do you get into a fight and you end up in the hospital? And then the question of who am I? I am someone in the hospital. So danger in volition is called accumulation, meaning karma, good or bad actions that may come back to you in one form or another. And this is the Chinese character for the second noble truth, the cause of suffering, is really a character that means accumulation. If you're familiar with the second noble truth, the cause of suffering, it makes it sound like it's a fixed point in time, but if you use the word accumulation, it gives the sense that it's an ongoing process of continual reactivity. And once again, if you accept rebirth, that's fine. If not, you can always look at it on a psychological level. Unwholesome and anxious or wholesome and happy states of mind are generated according to your actions.
行，我们呢，我们再继续说行。行呢是什么？行是一种反应，我的心的反应，去避免一些真的，或者是我想把这些。 我要的，我想更多，我想拿的更多，或者是我不要的，我想把它推开。这种行呢，事实上呢，是真正是跟业跟这个重生有关系。像比如说咯，像我们如何去决定呢？我们要想怎么做嘞？比如说一个医生呢，去帮助人是好事，或者是一个。 一个小偷了，我们当然不要做这样的事情了。所以，到底是什么决定我们要做这些事情？决定我们要怎么样去拿这个行呢，或者是不要这个行呢？ 我们如何去掌控这个呢？事实上每一分钟每一分钟每一分钟的这个资料进去，我们进入我们的意识呢，最重要最可怕的这个危机呢，危险呢，就是集收集，把这些所有的这些行呢收集起来，变成业，好的坏的一起收集变成业。就像呢是圣地的第二个苦集灭道的这个集，我们说全部把它这个收集收集收集起来。然后呢然后你可以相信，你可以接受重生，或者是你不要。所以这些好的跟不好的全部把它集合在一起，就会变成你的行为。
Okay, then the nutriment of consciousness. We can't see it. It's invisible, but it is not necessarily invisible to our awareness. A famous story of Bodhidharma, the first patriarch, and Hui Ke, who was to become the second patriarch. Hui Ke approached Bodhidharma and said, "My mind is troubling me. Can you help?" And Bodhidharma said, "Sure. Just show me your mind and I'll fix it." And Hui Ke meditated for a very long time and said to Bodhidharma, "I can't find it." Bodhidharma said, "See, there, I fixed it."
下一个呢是我意识，这个意识呢跟这个意识呢是我们看不到的，可是呢并不表示说呢它在这个我们的觉知里头是看不到的，是隐形的。可以讲一个非常非常有名的这个故事，就是二祖慧可去见菩提达摩，然后他跟菩提达摩说，我的心不安，然后大师你如何把我的心能安？菩提达摩说，那你把心拿来给我，我来安。慧可呢想了很久，然后在禅坐中想了很久，然后他突然说，我找不到我的心。那菩提达摩说，那我已经把你的心都安好了。
Okay, continuing with consciousness, everyone opens their eyes, now, you may be listening or asleep, one can never tell, I'm not sure in which state I'm in right now, but you will have no doubt if you open your eyes that you're conscious of the room. I mean, you wouldn't particularly doubt that. So no matter what is going on in your mind, you can be aware of the light coming in, or the light shining from the fixtures, the feel of your body on your chairs or cushions, the texture of your clothes, the colors of the paintings or on the wall. All of this you can be aware of. And everyone feels very comfortable with this. No one would think that they're any place else but here. No one feels like they're in the middle of the ocean on a ship in a storm.
意识，如果现在各位呢，每一个人呢，把眼睛张开，再看看你周围四周的环境，你当然知道了，你看到这个我们这个禅堂，我们这个讲堂，然后当然了，你也看到你也知道看到这个光线，然后你也看到你旁边左右的人，你也知道你的身体是如何感觉，或者是在凳子上了，或者是坐在蒲团上了，然后你知道你穿衣服的质料，然后你知道墙上这些画是什么颜色，什么东西，就你可以完全的感觉到意识到你这个周遭的环境。你会觉得很舒适，你会觉得很安心，并你不会觉得你好像是在这个汪洋中间，这个现在是一个台风，你在汪洋中间的可怜的一个小船。
According to Buddha Dharma, the whole world is filtered through your consciousness, but you don't know it. If you were an architect, you'd be very aware of the structure of this building. If you were a contractor, you could look up at the tiles on the ceiling or on the floor and know what they cost and how difficult it is to put them in. All of these things are things that are affected by your consciousness. Whatever is going on with you, unhappiness, uncertainty, joy, they'll affect your awareness. So consciousness, in this case, is the lack of awareness within awareness.
像佛法中间呢，就说呢，我们这个世界上所有呢，都是经过我们的意识呢过滤的。 即使我们不知道还是真正是 这件事情在发生。比如说呢，是一个建筑师呢，他非常非常的他可以非常仔仔细细的去看这个各种房屋的建筑，非常的仔细。像如果说一个盖房子的人，他们非常清楚这个价钱啊，或者是每一个这种材料的价钱，所以他们非常非常的清楚，因为他们有特别的意识，在他们的这个领域中间。像一个艺术家啦，知道仔仔细细，他非常了解如何去画画啦，去做这些艺术品。所以呢，不管我们是走到哪里，我们在做什么事情，我们高兴或者是不高兴，或者是我们不确定，这些点点滴滴的都在影响我们的觉知。所以呢，这个意识呢，事实上呢是没有觉知的觉知。
One definition of awakening or enlightenment is actually the absence of consciousness, right? So there's a certain point where terminology isn't very helpful, but it is good to understand these concepts and how the nutriments work. So consciousness as a nutriment, as the Buddha said, what you think and ponder will become the tendency of the mind. That seems pretty straightforward. And tendency suggests movement and flow, and that's a much better image or metaphor than a static bowl or a balloon that just sits there. Consciousness is dynamic.
像这个意识呢是非常不容易去了解的一个名词。我另外一种定义呢，就是觉悟呢是没有意识，就叫觉悟。佛陀也说了，如果说你想或者是你去观，这些呢都会变成一种就是你的心的趋向，这些趋向呢然后就变成这个行动，然后呢就一步一步的影响你的整个生活。
So watch extreme boxing and pornography and your consciousness expands in one way. Listen to Dharma talks, that's a plug, and take guitar lessons and your mind moves in another direction. It is what you're interested in. Stamp collecting. One person perks up, another person wants to die when they hear about it.
很多很多事情呢都会影响呢你的这个意识。比如说呢，你现在看呢电视上的这个打架，然后呢或者是你去看一些那个成人片，或者呢会影响你的这个意识呢一种方式。另外呢，你在这里呢听演讲，或者是你去学吉他，然后你的心呢会走另外一个方向。所以呢，这些是完全取决于你的喜好。像比如说来收集邮票啦，有些人呢真的是很非常放心非常高兴，有些人呢说啊，我实在不可以，我宁可死了。
So if the Buddha or a great bodhisattva were here, he or she would see what we see, but without the coloration. We might be very affected and distracted by career, family, politics. That might be operative for an awakened being, but the self and therefore the vulnerability to influence would not be there.
佛陀呢跟这个菩萨呢，他们呢也是看到我们一看到的一样东西，可是呢他们并没有呢让这些来影响他们。像我们可能会受影响我们的事业，我们的家庭，我们政治，可菩萨跟佛呢，他们都看到这些东西，他们也知道这些东西，可是呢他们不会让他们自己脆弱的受这些东西来影响。
So the danger associated with consciousness is called manifestation. In other words, in what direction, in what shape will consciousness grow? How will it form? We have seeds of love, hatred, delusion and awakening. Which ones are we watering?
意识的这个危险的地方呢是转换。 另外一种方式来说呢，我们的这个意识呢，如何成长，如何滋养，或者是如何形成？我们有这个爱、恨，然后错误，还有觉知的这些种子，哪一个我们是要的？
Just to reiterate, volition determines the next moment, next life. Consciousness is what determines how we experience this moment, this life. All four of the nutriments are subject to impermanence, and craving is central to them.
我在这里再强调一次，行呢，是决定我们下一分钟或者是下一个生命。意识呢，是决定我们如何经历每一分钟每一秒钟在我们这个此生在这个人生。所以呢这四种营养呢都是无常的。如何去这个执着呢都是会影响他们的。
When we understand nutriments as conditions, we can see how we're setting up mind and body, determining what and how we are.We don't determine a given moment. Life is just coming at us. We didn't fill out a form to decide where we were born, how rich our family would be, how healthy we would be. At one point, we were simply handed what we got, whatever it is. Proceeding from there, of course, is a different story. The present is pre-sent. That's one way of dividing the word to us. Here we are. The real understanding of karma is what we do in a given moment,with what we are handed. It's how we react. It's not fate, as some people seem to believe. It is what body and mind have been eating, foraging for what kind of food, and the question of in what direction are we going.
我们了解这是所有的这些营养呢都是缘。我们可以看呢是这些我们已经有在我们心如何帮助我们的心跟身体去决定我们是谁我们在哪里。可是我们的人生我们已经就是发生了，然后我们并没有呢填写一个资料呢，我要生在哪里，我要生在一个有钱人家的家里，我要多健康，我们没有办法去取决于这件事情。所以呢就是这个生命呢就是发生了，我们已经生在这里，我们已经长在这里了。所以这个活在每一个当下呢是最重要，我们真正去了解这个业呢是我们怎么做，我们是怎么去行，是去造这个业去做这件事情。这个并不是一个传说，也不是一个故事，是我们这个身心，我们吃些什么，我们滋养它变成这个样子。
So as awful as the images are in the sutra, understanding why they have been used and what they'repurposes can be very helpful. And to bring this teaching to the level of Chan, the abbot of DDRC, Guoxing Fashe, has been talking for years about this idea of the mother in your mind is not your real mother, that we have images in our mind which we are continually perceiving to be real. And in this way, we often connect to our images of reality as opposed to reality itself. And so in order, becoming aware of this, we can become more aware of our intentionality and understand upon what our volition is based. And so in that way, when we understand the conditional nature of things, we can be more...apt not to be swayed by those conditions.
像我们国行法师常常说的，心中的妈妈不是妈妈。事实上，我们都是把外面的这些印象呢，把它当真。法师一直常在强调这一点。所以呢，因为我们把它当真，所以呢，就这个行就变成这个就变成行动。所以呢，了解了这个这个行呢到底是怎么回事，然后呢我们慢慢的改变我们的想法，然后知道然后知道这些缘一直在改变，一直在改变，我们就不会受这些缘的影响。
When a thought or an impression, this kind of nutriment, enters body or mind, it is gone. Yet our perceptions and conceptions and consciousness about those things which actually just happened still lag behind the actual changes. And we are still building castles, sand castles in the sky, so to speak, believing that our experience of the world constitutes the world itself. As our deluded mind takes over, the real world disappears.
一个想法，一个感觉，就像那个食物进入我们的身体，进入或者是精神粮食进入我们的心，都已经消失了。可是我们的这个感官呢，还有我们这个意识呢，一直呢就把它卡，就被卡在那里，觉得好像呢这些呢还是存在。那好像这种就可以拿举例来说了，我们在空中盖一个用沙做的塔，事实上咱们早已经消失了，可是呢我们还是执着在那上面。
So and continue with the contrast between Chan, Zen, and these early teachings, I read the commentary of a Theravadan monk named Nyanaponika Thera. And when he was going over all of the awful images and the suffering, he exhorted us to practice hard so that we can leave this murderous world. Right? Those are his exact words. And I have a great deal of respect for the early teachings, and note that it's really it's a difference of focus and emphasis. But in Chan, we're really not trying to leave the world. We're trying to not add to the suffering. We're trying not to be swayed by it. But it is something that's not transcendent. It's really living in the imminent.
小圣有一个非常有名的禅师告诉我们呢，good idea information about 痛苦呢，就是时常发生在我们的身旁，所以呢，禅呢并不叫我们要离世，要出世，离开这个可怕的这个世界，而是要我们去了解呢这些教义呢，去能有不一样的这个不一样的这个观点。我们呢，我们必须要慈悲这个世界。
Okay, so once again, in Chan, we emphasize the interconnectedness of all things and believe that our awakening, our end to suffering, if you will, is intimately related to everyone else's suffering and their awakening. So we are trying to be here and be as aware and helpful as we possibly can.
在禅呢，我们强调呢，所有事情呢都有关联的。我们跟所有世界上所有的众生都有关联的。所以呢，我们知道了这个呢，我们不要逃离这个世界上，我们要有这个觉知。
Okay, and another contrast between the early teachings and these later Mahayana teachings can be found in the teachings of in the early Buddhist suttas, what are called the three characteristics. And these, of course, are all large lectures in themselves, but the three characteristics are impermanence, no self, and suffering. Right, which is, we've certainly skirted around all of those topics in this talk. Those are the three characteristics. Then in the Mahayana sutras, you come upon what's called the three Dharma seals. And that, very similar, that's impermanence, no self, and nirvana. It's really the same thing, but it's a different emphasis. So what nirvana is, in looking at it this way, is the suffering world perceived but not suffered from. That is the difference. But there's a definite difference in emphasis and perspective between the two schools of thought.
Three marks of existence, they say, no self.
No self.
Okay. That's Theravada, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. 在小圣中这个三种存在呢，讲到这个无我、无常跟没有痛苦。然后在大圣中的三法印呢，讲诸行无常、诸法无我跟极尽涅槃。这三种呢，这两个呢有类似的地方呢，也有不同的地方。在三法印中间呢，我们强调无常、无我跟涅槃。这个涅槃呢，并不是说什么都消失了，是知道有涅槃这件事情。我们在涅槃中，并不让这个涅槃呢消失来影响我们。
So as I draw to the close of my talk, I want to talk about one last thing. We've been talking about food and nutriments and awful images, so I guess I haven't really engendered much hunger. But it seems appropriate to talk about a very famous essay by Dogen Zenji, the Japanese founder of Soto Zen, 13th century, who wrote a very famous piece called Instructions to the Cook. So if we are ingesting nutriments all the time, mind and body, then we are taking these to prepare our lives. As Roshi Bernie Glassman says, we cook our lives. Dogen, the founder of the Japanese school, as I mentioned, points out that we can take our lives and really focus in and be careful in the preparation of whatever we do as if we were cooking. So then the question becomes, are we the cooked or are we the cook? Are we passive and suffering or aware and helpful and thriving? When we read about these instructions, it becomes clear that we are the cooks. We can be the cooks. We could be in a stew ourselves. But we can take these nutriments and we make the soup, the sauce, and the entrees of our lives.
日莲宗的这道元禅师呢他有非常有名的著作怎么去煮东西。事实上呢这个煮东西呢并不是真的在煮食物，是怎么样去煮我们的心，也不是煮我们的心，就是如何去烹饪我们的心，烹调我们的心，去准备我们的心。这个问题呢是我们所有做东西，我们所有的这个感官跟外界的感官，跟我们的这个所有的这个资料到我们身体里面，然后到我们的心里面来，然后我们如何去去有执着或者没有执着呢？这一步一步，每一分钟每一分钟都是在准备这个食物让它变成一个可以吃的食物。所以呢问题是我们是被煮的食物呢，还是我们是这个厨师在精心的准备我们的食物。
So Dogen said about the cook, having received the rice and vegetables to cook, protect and be frugal with them as if they were your own eyes. So the rice and vegetables are really everyone you know, everything you encounter.And of old it was said, when steaming rice, treat the pot as one's own head. When rinsing the rice, know that the water is one's own lifeblood.
道元禅师呢说呢，如果你有了这个饭跟菜去煮东西的话，你要好好的保护它，你要好好的节俭它们，就好像它们是你自己的眼睛一样。这个饭呢，这个菜呢，是每一个人你所知道的，也是每一件事情呢你在人生中遇到的。我另外一种说法呢，就是当你呢在煮饭的时候呢，你要对待这个你煮的这个饭呢，这一整锅饭呢是你的自己的头。当你在洗这个米的时候呢，你要对待这个水呢，就像你自己的血液一样。
And finally, Dogen said that a cook should have three attitudes. The first is one of joy, appreciative of everything that he or she has, aware of the world around, enjoying every moment. The second is the feeling of being a parent, of being an elder, of understanding that what you are doing is taking care of yourself and those around you, that what you are preparing has an effect on other people around, around you, your family and around the world. And finally, an attitude of a great mind, where you are developing a mind that is equanimous, that is not caught up in labeling, judging, or comparing, that you are living clearly in the world, unencumbered.
道元禅师呢说了，你对待食物呢应该有这三种的态度。第一个是快乐，你感恩你的食物，你感恩你它的来源，你很不容易得到这个食物，你要对它有感恩。第二种态度呢是像父母亲一样，你知道你在做什么，你所有点点滴滴做的事都会对很多人造成影响，所以你要非常非常小心的做这件事情。第三个呢是非常非常平等的这个对待所有你做的事情，不要去评判，非常非常的平等的对待。
So everybody here is now officially enrolled in the cooking school of their own lives. So I want to thank you all for coming.
恭喜大家，你现在已经注册进去这个烹饪学校。谢谢大家。